The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Morning, how is everyone doing?
Very well.
Who asked for this weather? You did? We have midweek service at 7 o'clock here this week. On Monday, we have Minnesota North Confessional Meeting at Zion. Tuesday, visitation here for Hurricane Val. And 3 o'clock service time. Any other announcements? Oh, yep.
Just for a few minutes after the service, I want to gather the trustees and discuss a couple things and we could have you join us as well.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday service here. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, order of service is page 15, and we'll begin singing as soon as she starts playing.
Thank you.
here on page 15. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We continue with the intro printed in your bulletin. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. Let not my enemies exult over me.
Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, you are my trust. Let me not be put to shame.
Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions.
According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
Good and upright is the Lord.
Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way.
For your name's sake, O Lord,
pardon my guilt, for it is great.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, in your steadfast love.
For they have been from of old.
Let not my enemies exult over me.
Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles.
Thank you.
God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our confessional reading is on the Office of the Keys and Confession. What is confession?
Confession is the grace of two hearts. One is that we confess our sins, the other that we receive absolution and forgiveness from the Master, as from God Himself. And you know why is that, but firmly believe that thy and our sins are forgiven before God in heaven.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from the 32nd chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 22. And he arose that night and took his wives, his two servant, female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, and which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, and the muscle that shrank. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual. "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Consider my afflictions and my trouble,
and forget all my sins."
The epistle reading is written by St. Paul. It's his first letter to the Christians in Thessalonica, the fourth chapter, beginning with the first verse. "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." Here endeth the epistle reading. We continue with the tract printed in your bulletin. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord?
Or declare all his grace.
Blessed are those, are they who observe justice.
Who do righteousness at all times.
Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people.
Help me when you save them."
Please rise to the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, and even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge all the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one Holy Christian and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
What is great faith? Our text for this morning is based on the gospel reading, most specifically, O woman, great is your faith. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
What a compliment your Lord gave this Canaanite woman, who proved herself to be a daughter of Abraham through faith. Wouldn't you all love to have so great a faith as this woman? But what does it mean to have a great faith? Dear saints in Christ, a great illustration to teach what faith is a story about two different men on two different lakes in the middle of the winter. The first man needs to get across the lake, but he fears that the ice is too thin to hold him. So he decides to crawl across the ice, spreading out his weight so as not to crack the ice. He does this until he sees a big truck drive across the ice without any problem. He realizes that the ice is a couple feet thick, and he has no need to fear of it breaking underneath him. Now the second man, on a different lake, has no such fear. He is positive that the ice on this lake will hold his weight. He needs to get across to the other side, so he confidently marches onto the ice, and almost immediately the ice breaks underneath him. It was only a few inches thick. You see, this man's confidence was misplaced. So which man do you think had a stronger faith? Well, certainly the second man. He was confident that the ice would hold him. But he was wrong. His faith was wrong. The first man had better faith, even though he feared and trembled like a bruised reed in the wind. And this teaches you that the greatness of a faith is not measured in the confidence of a person the person has alone. A sinner who doubts, but who does trust in Jesus, has saving faith. A person may have much stronger faith in something that is false, but that doesn't make his faith true. You see, the object of your faith is much more important than the strength of your faith. The object of your faith is Jesus. Faith receives Jesus and all the blessings he gives to you. If Jesus is not the object of your faith, you will not receive his blessings. The two people you learned about from the Old Testament and the gospel readings struggled a lot with God. God seemed to be mean to them almost. God wrestled with Jacob all night, even knocking his hip out of joint, so that he limped for the rest of his life. That poor Canaanite woman, all she wanted was for her daughter to be rescued from the demon that oppressed her. Nevertheless, Jesus ignored her, treated her like an outsider, and finally he insulted her, calling her a dog. Now, why did God treat these two individuals so harshly? He was testing them in order to strengthen their faith. But I thought even a weak faith can receive salvation. Why does Jesus test this woman's faith? Because losing your faith is a real danger. Jesus knows that those who follow him will bear their own crosses. A few weeks ago, you heard the parable about the sower. The seed he sowed was the word of God. Those planted on the rocks were those who heard the word of God and believed it with joy. But when the sun came out, that is, when tribulation and persecution arrived, the plants withered because they had no depth to their roots. They indeed had true saving faith, but they fell away because their faith was weak and unable to withstand the cross. You see, Jesus knows that those who follow him will be attacked by the devil, persecuted by the world, and that even their own sinful hearts will betray them to turn them away from Jesus. And so your God tests you. He wrestles with you. He permits you to suffer so that you will gain endurance, character, and hope that will not be put to shame. You see, saints in Christ, when you are baptized into Christ, you are a Christian. God has washed away all your sins in the washing of rebirth that joins you to Jesus' death and resurrection. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. You have a simple, yet a real infant faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you grow, you learn more about your Savior Jesus. Your parents will teach you how Jesus, who is both God and man, died upon the cross and rose from the dead to save you from your sins. You will learn that when you die, you will go to heaven. The instruction will be simple and childlike. Nevertheless, as you get older and as you get wiser, the devil's tricks will become more sophisticated in order to trick your growing intellect. Your parents will not be able to control your environment, but the world will grow bigger and bigger all around you, and so it will influence you. And as your body grows and matures, so will your sinful flesh, which fights against the Spirit of God who dwells within you. So just as your parents fed you only milk when you were a baby and did not discipline you a lot, yet as you grow, you will eat more complex foods. You'll be given more responsibilities, and you will be disciplined along the way. So also your spiritual food will become more complex. You will be taught the faith in greater depth. You will learn arguments to fight against the devil's lies and so withstand the pressure of the world and win the struggle against the sinful flesh. And God will permit you to suffer along the way too, as he does for all of you. This is how you grow in faith. This is how your faith grows stronger, so that you can bear the crosses of this life with patience. Both Jacob and this Canaanite woman wrestled with God, and both Jacob and this Canaanite woman won. Jacob stubbornly held on to God, who was in the form of man, until he blessed him. He wouldn't even let go when his hip was knocked out of socket. So why did Jacob refuse to let go? Why did he insist on being blessed? Because God promised to bless him. God promised to be with Jacob wherever he went, and that he would protect his family and make his offspring like the dust of the ground. God promised Jacob that he would not leave him until he had done as he had promised. Nevertheless, in the Old Testament reading, it looks like the opposite was happening. It looked like Jacob's brother Esau was going to kill him, his wives, his children, and take all that he had. But Jacob saw looked like the opposite of what God had promised. So what did Jacob do? He prayed to God and held him at his word. Before his wrestling match with God, he said a prayer. But you said, I will surely do you good. Jacob held on to God's promise, just as he held onto the man he wrestled, and he won. Now the Canaanite woman won in the same way. She called Jesus the Son of David, which means she believed Jesus to be the Christ, God's anointed Savior. And she believed the promise of Scripture that the Christ would save not only the people of Israel, but also the nations of the whole world. So she called out to Jesus, the Son of David, for mercy. But Jesus ignored her. When she continues to cry out, he said that he was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is, he was sent only to the Jews. The woman is not a Jew. She is not a descendant of Israel. What Jesus says is true on two counts. He was sent to proclaim the gospel only to Israel. This is why he told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem until they had received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. This is also why St. Paul said in his letter to the Christians in Rome, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So technically, yes, Jesus' ministry at the time was directed to the Jewish people. Jesus' statement was also true because everyone who believes in him, both Jews and non-Jews, were grafted into the one house of Israel. You are members of the house of Israel through faith. It sounds like Jesus is rejecting this woman. But she continues to ask for help. Jesus says that it is not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Jesus is calling the Jews children and the Gentiles dogs. He is calling her a dog. So will she give up? Will she walk away from Jesus and seek help elsewhere? No. She agrees with Jesus. She acknowledges that she is a dog. That is, she acknowledges that she doesn't deserve anything from Jesus. But she knows what has been promised, and she clings to the promise. This is why Jesus says she has a great faith. She has a great faith not only because she trusts in Jesus, but because she clings to Jesus, even when it seems like he is rejecting her. She had a great faith because she clings to Jesus' word and promise. You see, a great faith clings to God's promise, even when it seems like God is delaying, even through suffering and hardship. In fact, this suffering, this hardship, and this waiting strengthens the faith, which clings to the promise. Now, many people measure their faith based upon their feelings. When they feel good, they think their faith is strong. Others measure their faith based upon their perceived power, how good they are at being a Christian. Some even measure their faith on whether they can speak in tongues, whether they can prophesy, or whether they can heal the sick. These are all false ways of measuring faith. Oh, you might feel good and strong, but that does not mean that you have a strong faith. And you might feel miserable and weak. That doesn't mean you have a weak faith. Rather, the true measurement of faith in Jesus Christ and the promise of forgiveness and of salvation is what he offers in his word. If you hold on to Jesus and his promise, your faith is great. Oh, your feelings will change. If you base your faith upon your feelings, then your faith is founded upon sinking sand. When your feelings change, when you get depressed or feel under attack, then your faith will crumble because you based it upon your feelings. But if your faith is grounded on Jesus and his promises, then whether you are sick or healthy, happy or depressed, weak or strong, your faith remains strong. When I was a teacher in Iowa, I was a wrestling coach. And we had a poster in the wrestling room that stated, "Pain is weakness leaving your body." At the end of a hard practice, when your clothes were drenched in sweat, and your arms and your legs felt like rubber, we would then make the wrestlers run sprints, do push-ups, and sit against the wall as if there was a chair underneath them with only their legs to hold them up. So as the strength was running out of the wrestlers and their legs were burning, and the clock on the wall seemed to give an eternal, seemed to stop, they could not look at that. They could look at that poster and read, "Pain is weakness leaving your body." Saints in Christ, when you're in pain, when you're suffering, you don't like being told that your pain is good. When things are going well, it's easy to quote scriptures and say, "We know that though for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those called according to his purpose." But when you're suffering, you don't want to hear that. You just want the suffering to go away. But it would still be foolish to say the suffering did no good, or to give up Christ in an attempt to escape the suffering. It is good that God lets you suffer here upon earth so that you cling closer to him and his promises. God has promised in your baptism that you are his own child. He has promised that through Christ he will answer all your prayers. He has promised to forgive all your sins for the sake of Christ's death and resurrection. He has promised to give you eternal life. He has promised to raise you from the dead. God has promised that your suffering is only temporary, and that it is better to lose your life here upon earth for Christ's sake than gain the whole world. God always keeps his promises. You see, the suffering you experience in this life is an exercise God gives you to strengthen your faith. So as you suffer, so as you cling closer to the promises God gives you through Jesus and his word, as you suffer, you fall out of love with your bodies, which cause you so much pain. You fall out of love with the world, which leaves you behind. You fall out of love with yourself, and you claim to be nothing, and that Jesus becomes everything. It is as Psalmist says in Psalm 73, Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Dear saints in Christ, when this world, when its cares and troubles, when your pride and power, and when everything else becomes nothing, and Christ is your everything, then your faith is great. Scripture promises that the suffering of this present time is not worth comparing with the glory to be revealed to you in Jesus. May God grant you the faith to believe that. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Shepherd of Israel, our Lord and Master, remember your tender mercies and loving kindness of old. Do not let our enemies triumph over us. Do not depart from us until you have blessed us. As you strove for Jacob, so strive now for your faithful people who put their trust in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Shepherd of Israel, you have knit Jew and Gentile and all the nations of the world into your one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Lead us ever more deeply into the unity you desire for your people, that we may bear one another's burdens in prayer and in works of mercy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Shepherd of Israel, preserve all catechumens and their teachers, all children and their parents, and every Christian home from the assaults of the evil one. As you have called us in holiness, so sanctify us to walk as we ought and to please you through the Lord Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Shepherd of Israel, we give thanks that in holy baptism we receive forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless John continually by your word and spirit, that he may faithfully keep the covenant into which he has been called, boldly confess his Savior, and finally share with all your saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Shepherd of Israel, you have established rulers and earthly authorities to protect us. Bless Donald, our president, Timothy, our governor, the Congress of the United States, the legislature of this state, and all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help us preserve our liberty and use its gift wisely in the pursuit of justice and the welfare of all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Shepherd of Israel, you hear the cries of the severely oppressed and bless them with healing in your appointed season. Comfort those who wait on you, especially Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Denny, Ruth, Janet, Roger, Micah, Lincoln, Eric, Rachel, Deanna, Brianna, Chuck, Gordon, Pastor Fish, Mary, the Vicar Langton family, the Leslie family, and the family of Valerie Moe. Increase their faith and bring them through their trials. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Shepherd of Israel, though it is not right to give the children's bread to dogs or to cast pearls before swine, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Receive us in your mercy and enable us all who commune to make the good confession, both of our sin and of you, our only Savior, that we may receive your true body and blood for the forgiveness of all our sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we implore you, by your Holy Spirit, to strengthen our hearts and to confirm our faith and hope in your grace and mercy. Although we have reason to fear for the sake of our conscience, our sin, and our unworthiness, let us nevertheless hold fast, like the woman of Cana, to your grace. And in every trial and temptation, let us find you a present help and refuge through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with hymn 307. Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes, I believe that I am a sinner.
How do you know this?
From the Ten Commandments, which I have not kept.
Are you sorry for your sins?
Yes, I am sorry that I have sinned against God.
What have you deserved from God because of your sins?
His wrath and displeasure, temporal death, and eternal damnation.
Do you hope to be saved?
Yes, that is my hope.
In whom then do you trust?
In my dear Lord Jesus Christ.
Who is Christ?
The Son of God, true God, and man.
How many gods are there?
Only one, but there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
What has Christ done for you that you trust in him?
He died for me and shed his blood for me on the cross.
Did the Father also die for you?
He did not. The Father is God only, as is the Holy Spirit. But the Son is both true God and true man. He died for me and shed his blood for me.
How do you know this?
From the Holy Gospel, from the words instituting the sacrament, and by his body and blood, given me as a pledge to the sacrament.
What are the words of institution?
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup and half supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Do you believe then that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament?
Yes, I believe it.
What convinces you to believe this?
The word of Christ, "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood."
What should we do when we eat his body and drink his blood, and in this way receive his pledge?
You should remember and proclaim his death and the shedding of his blood as he offers. This too as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Why should we remember and proclaim his death?
First, so that we may learn to believe and know the creature who makes satisfaction for our sins. Only Christ, true God and man, could do that. Second, so we may remember to be mortified by our sins and to regard them as very serious. Third, so we may have joy and comfort in Christ alone, and through faith in him be saved.
What motivated Christ to die and make full payment for your sins?
His great love for his Father and for me and others of his sinners, as it is written in John 14, Romans 5, Galatians 2, and Ephesians 5.
Finally, why do you wish to go to the sacrament?
That I may learn to believe that Christ, out of great love, died for my sins, and also learn from him to love God and my neighbor.
What should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently?
First, both the command and promise of Christ's Lord. Second, his own pressing need, because of which command, encouragement, and promise are given.
But what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
Such a person, no matter what advice may be given in advance, first he should touch his body to see if it still has flesh and blood. Then he should believe what the scripture says in Galatians 5:1-7. Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world, and remember that there will be no lack of sin and trouble, as the scriptures say in John 15:16 and 1 John 2:5. Further, he observed that the devil also loved him, who is lying and murdering day and night, but let him have no peace with him or without, as the scriptures are written in John 8:16. 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 5, and 2 Timothy 2.
Please rise and we continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Cleansed hearts,
we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with valor and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
8:8. This is the true body of Christ. Again, the blood of Christ. The body of Christ, again, the blood of Christ. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the baptismal grace. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Now, this is all this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Serve the Lord.
Amen.
Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, drink. The true body of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink. The true body of Christ, shed for the remission.
Let thy blood for sinners.
serve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace, serve the Lord.
Thank you.
body and soul to life and flesh. Pray in peace. Thank you. us for this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Let us, since there is a lunch downstairs, let's say the common table prayer and return thanks. Come, Lord
Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. And we give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.